For this first month, as we come together, we're going to be doing the same in our sermon series as in our children's work. And today we're thinking about a birthday party. No, not a birthday party. A party. But not a birthday party. A birthday party can be me, my friends, coming, something that I enjoy, what I receive. And sometimes we might think about heaven like that. What can I get at heaven? What can I enjoy at heaven? Will the people I like be there? What is good for me? But actually, God describes heaven as a party, as a wedding party. What is a wedding party about? Who's involved in a wedding party? Yeah? Can't quite hear. It brings people together, two key people. The bride and groom, isn't it? It's a wedding. It's a two people coming together, the bride and the groom. And in the Bible, God describes the wedding as the heaven as a wedding party between the groom, which is Jesus, and the bride, which is the church, God's people. And they celebrate being together. It's an amazing party. And church here this morning is the gathered people. Not Christians on our own, and we've tried hard with Zoom and with visits and phone calls to keep people together, but church is the gathered people of God. And it's a great theme, I thought, for this morning as we gather together again after 5 months of not being together. Now back together, gathered, a little taste of heaven on earth, and God is here with us by his Spirit, through Jesus, the head of the church, the bridegroom, loving his bride, the church. So we're going to have our first reading now, I think from Liz, from Revelation, which picks up this theme.
The first reading is from Revelation chapter 19, starting at the fifth verse. Then a voice came from the throne saying, "Praise our God, all you his servants, you who fear him, both great and small." Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters and like loud peals of thunder, shouting, "Hallelujah, for our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory. For the wedding of the Lamb has come and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear. Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of God's holy people." Then the angel said to me, "Write this: blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb." And he added, "These are the true words of God." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The second reading this morning is taken from Matthew chapter 22, verses 1 to 14, and you can find this on the Pew Bibles, page 990. Matthew 22, the parable of the wedding banquet. Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, 'Tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatted cattle have been butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to the business. The rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. So go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find.' So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, the bad as well as the good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes, and he asked, "How did you get in here without wedding clothes, friend?" The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, "Tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you. So keep that passage open. We're going to look at a series of parables over the next few weeks. And as I said, the kids group is Discoverers are looking at these as well. So if you're a parent, they'll be able to quiz you, or you can quiz them easily afterwards. Parables are stories told to teach people and to teach a main point. So we don't always get precise definitions or necessarily kind of exactly realistic things going on. But they're a story to make a point. And generally, it's kind of one big point that Jesus wants to get across. And this is a series of parables where Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is like, the kingdom of heaven is like this. He wants to describe what it's like being in God's people here on earth as well as forever. In another gospel, the same thing is described as the kingdom of God. And it's about who is in and who is out and what it is like. Do you want to get it? See if my clicker is working. It is. Excellent. So our question for this morning is, how can we enjoy being at the party of heaven? This is a story about a wedding party. It's the most glorious, happy occasion you can imagine. But it ends with weeping and gnashing of teeth. And that's a surprise. It's a shock. It's not a surprise party, but it's a surprise about who is enjoying and who is not. And we need to ask ourselves this morning, how can we enjoy being at the party of heaven? So first of all, there is a party invitation from a good God. Here's your party invitation. You only get one between you, so you have to share it. It says, you are freely invited by God to the wedding party of his son. RSVP, because everyone writes in French at the end of an invite. But there is an invite. Let's examine this story and see what is going on. There is a good invitation from a good God. First of all, we think, well, who is this son? Verse 2. And a son in the stories is generally, it's going to be pointing us to Jesus. It's a good church answer. It's a good sort of Sunday school answer. The son is Jesus in verse 2. He is the one who has this wedding banquet prepared for him. So who's the king? Well, he's the father, isn't he? He's God the Father. And actually, if you read through, you'll see that God the Father is the central character here. He's the only one that has any of his words recorded. He's the one that speaks. So the wedding feast that we have here, Jesus describes, is the banquet for the Messiah, the party for the Christ that we heard about in our Revelation 19 reading earlier, the wedding supper of the Lamb and the Church. And through the Bible, there are various prophecies pointing to this description of heaven and eternal life. Well, who is invited? Who is the you that this invitation comes to? Well, we need to work at this slightly. We need to read the Bible in its context. Who is Jesus actually speaking to? And he's speaking to the Jewish people at this time, and particularly their leaders. So if you've got your Bibles there open, if you look just a couple of verses before our passage, so chapter 21, 45 and 46, it says, when the chief priests and the Pharisees heard Jesus' parables, they knew he was talking about them. They looked for a way to arrest him, but they were afraid of the crowd because the people held that he was a prophet. Jesus spoke to them again. Do you see? So the context is, the Jewish people, and particularly the leaders, are starting to get aggravated with Jesus because he's pointing some sort of finger at them. This story is told to the Jewish people, and it's about their history. So the first readers, actually, of Matthew's gospel, where this is recorded, would have understood what that judgment was when the city, in verse 7, when he sends his army and destroys the murderers and burns their city, they'd have gone, oh, AD 70, Jerusalem flattened by the Romans. So these first readers would have known, hey, this is what he's talking about. Judgment came on Jerusalem, the city of Israel, the people. So that's what's going on in the first instance. And so the verse 3, the servants offering the invitation to heaven, eternal life. Well, they're the prophets that have come to Israel all the way through the Old Testament. And then the apostles from the resurrection of Jesus onwards coming to the Jewish people saying, he's the Christ, will you turn to him? So what is going on overall in this story, in the first half of the story? God patiently, persistently invites Israel to his party. Again and again, he sends prophets in the Old Testament saying, you are invited in amongst my people. He sends servants, he sends prophets. He even sends his son, who doesn't appear in this parable as a story, but Jesus came as well, didn't he, to his people, inviting his chosen people to a wedding, a feast. And he's still the same God, still inviting people to a wedding, a party. You and me, we can be part of the many, of verse 14. But we need to accept the invitation. In verse 3 to 6, we see Israel rejecting the invitation. We see indifference, which is a bit like getting the invite through the post and kind of going, maybe putting it to one side, maybe not giving it any thought. And they see indignation. They go, how dare you suggest that there's a party? How dare you suggest that there's one God, or whatever it is? But hostility and anger against it. There are people who don't seem to care about God in this story, and there are people who get angry and hostile in this story. And there's a danger. The danger of indifference, of not caring about this invitation. There are people who don't necessarily want to shut church doors, don't want preachers to shut up necessarily, but they don't want to open their ears to it. They're busy. Think of, do you remember the story Alice in Wonderland and the rabbit that's whizzing around? I'm late for a very important bad date. And he's whizzing around. He's not time to say hello, not time to say goodbye, not time to kind of enjoy what's going on in the story. He kind of whizzes in and whizzes out. So that's what these people are like. Always busy, always moving, no time to listen, no time to receive and accept this invitation, to hear the generous, loving invitation of their Father God. And maybe you know someone like that, or maybe you are someone like that. The danger of indifference, the danger of indignation. Indignant, hostile, verse 6. They kill the servants, don't they, in this story. And there are people like that. They could even be religious leaders, those who want to teach niceness, but want to push aside the unique claims of Jesus. They say, well, this doesn't really fit with our culture. Or secular society, they want to push reference to a creator Father God to one side. What does that have to do with anything? At school, in the workplace, in politics. Or atheists who want it denied directly. And maybe you know someone like that. Well, what happens in our story to the indifferent and the indignant? Well, in verse 7, God justly judges. God is throwing a party. He's persistently inviting, he's being patient, he's waiting for people to accept and come freely. But one day there must be a reckoning. As I said, the first readers of Matthew would have seen AD 70, but we know there's an eternal dimension to that judgment. And it's difficult to accept the idea of an angry God, isn't it? We tend to not really want an involved Father God who might be too involved with us. We want a kindly grandfather God. You know, granddad who comes around and gives out treats but doesn't bother with any of the discipline of the children or kind of how they should behave. There are no consequences with him. But actually, we do praise justice when we see it, when we see the evil person or the act punished. And we hate injustice when things are not fair. God is a king. He's a sovereign ruler. God has a son, and he's gracious and generous, and he invites people to this party, this wedding feast, a party invitation from a good God. He's patient, sending out the word again and again. Remember, he even invites those rebels twice. But if we continue to be indifferent, or if people continue to be indignant, they continue into the danger of losing out and losing out forever. God is patient, but he's also holy and just, and he will deliver justice to those who reject his joyful rule. So we come to the second part of the story from verse 8 onwards. It's very similar to the first bit, but there are some differences if you have a look. has a similar structure. There are invitations that go out again. So here's the invitation, and there are responses. And this time there are some yeses, aren't there? Oh, yes, thank you very much. This sounds very, very lovely. I think I'll go along to that party, say a number of people. There are similar characters, the king, the servants are sent, there's a wedding feast. But there are some new characters. There's the attendants, verse 13, who are likely to be angels in heaven. That seems to be their role. And the guests, verse 11, are now the church, those who have come in to God's. These are people who've responded by faith. We have found our place in this story. It's the story of mission beyond Israel. We've had rejection, and now there is acceptance. Thank you, I'd love to come. Here I go. And there are many, many gathered. The music starts. It's the song of heaven. It's a happy ending, verse 10. But then he carries on, doesn't he? When the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. Friend, he said, how did you get here without wedding clothes? The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen. I wonder if as you read this or hear this, you like me kind of go, Jesus, couldn't you have left it at verse 10? That was really happy. What is this last bit? Well, Jesus wants us to know the danger of inconsistency, by which I mean not living out your new life, refusing to be the person you have been saved to be. And again, this is a just judgment. The man, verse 12, he's speechless. He has no defense. He doesn't go, hey, I was just doing this or that. No, this is justice. It is his own fault, and he is exiled. Well, what is this wedding garment? I thought we'd go with visuals, although I didn't think through the microphone. Wedding garment for the duration. It's a slightly sciencey wedding garment, but stick with it. There are a variety of theories about what the wedding garment might be. Love, charity, good works. We need to look at what the Bible says at this particular point. We know from the parable it is given by God, the host, to his guests. And that did happen in weddings at that time. You might be provided with a bit of clothing as part of your present for coming to the wedding. In the Old Testament, in Zechariah, there are a number of stories. Zechariah is one about clothes being used for sort of forgiveness and holiness. It says, he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord. Satan was ready to accuse him. Joshua was dressed in filthy clothes as he stood before the angel. The angel said to those who were standing before him, take off his filthy clothes. And he said, see, I have taken away your sin. Do you see that? Taken off the filthy clothes, taken away the sin, and put fine garments on you. Put a clean turban on his head. They put a clean turban on his head and clothed him while the angel of the Lord stood by. And then in New Testament imagery, you'll know in various of the letters, we have the clothes of righteousness appearing again and again. Clothes that you put on when you start this new life with Jesus. But they must be worn. The verb is always active. Put it on. Live this life that you've been given. You've been freely given a new life as children of God in Jesus. You need to put it on. Live it. So then we start to understand maybe this last verse. Many are invited, but few are chosen. Inviting this parable is to accept the invitation. You've come in, but you haven't necessarily put on the wedding clothes. Few are chosen. Chosen is proven by living God's way, putting on the clothes, the life he has given you. See, this parable of judgment is told to God's people, told to Christians. You, Christian, Jesus is saying, be careful, persevere, keep going. One of the great things about church is we help each other to persevere and encourage each other. Receive freely as you respond to the invitation, but to stay, you will be changed to be the person God wants you to be. God accepts you as you are, but he does not leave you as you are. He removes your old clothes of dirty, disgusting behaviours, inconsistent with your new life with him. You come by faith, a faith that repents, a faith in action, turns from sin and seeks holiness, good works, loves and obeys, puts on those wedding clothes. And so we've seen the danger of indifference, indignation, and inconsistency. They all lead to not enjoying the party of heaven. So accept the invitation. So who are you in this parable? Who are we? Are you those who are busy with other things, showing disrespect to the Son and rebelling against the King by prioritizing other things and ignoring him, your creator and sustainer? Maybe this Christian stuff is all right for Sundays, but not really. God's not really invited into the rest of the week. Jesus says, well, don't lose your life by making a living. Or are you those who actively reject God, hostile to the claims of Jesus to be Lord and Judge of the world, as well as Saviour and Friend, rebelling against the King even more? May not be you gathered here this morning, but I'm sure we know people like that. Remember, this story was told to the Jewish people about their history. They'd been either rejecting God passively by ignoring him, doing like the people around them, or they'd actively rejected God by killing prophets. But it also stands true now. It's a warning to the indifferent. God says, come. The indignant. God says, come. How dare he? Accept the invitation. God so loved the world, he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. But many will respond, and they are the unlikely. Did you notice that, verse 10? The bad as well as the good. Us, from whatever walks of life, we are invited in by God. There'll be many in the kingdom of heaven. They will be those who respond to the invitation. And from Jesus' story, those who stay will be those who've repented and believed and wear the righteousness they've been given. Wedding clothes are freely given, and it's a mark of belonging. Refusing to wear them is another way of disrespecting the Son and rebelling against the King, saying, God, I come to you, but I don't really want to change any part of my life. So it's interesting, isn't it, as you look a little bit more deeply at this parable, we see something of the balance between the free invitation of the gospel and the demand for holiness. In Hebrews 12, it says, make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Now, this is a righteousness that is given you freely in Jesus, but we're asked to live it out with his help. Finally, very briefly, we can see in this invitation one other way of being involved. How about you come as guests into King's party? How about being promoted to being involved as the servants of the King, passing on the invitation? Later in Matthew, the same gospel, Jesus says, go and make disciples of all nations. At the very least, if you believe you found a good thing, the ultimate party with a loving Heavenly Father God, the greatest ticket and offer in town, then to think, well, who do you dislike enough to keep this news from them? We want to share this good news, this invitation with others. And we're taught a few things about what that'll look like. We're sent out by God. We are to invite. And despite the best news and the best offer, we're to expect a variety of responses. Those who are too busy with other things, those who might be hostile and say, shut up, stop talking to me about it. And those who seem very unlikely and unexpected, but who accept with joy. And remember, it isn't rejection of us. If someone says no, turns away, doesn't want to come to church or hear you, it's a rejection of the King, the good God who sent us. There's a party invitation from a good God. Accept the invitation, receive the righteous life of Jesus, and live it. Let's pray. Father God, thank you. You are a good God who has such a good kingdom for us to belong to. Help us hear and respond to your invitation. Help us put on our new life you have bought for us by the death of your Son Jesus. And then send us out with this invitation to those in danger of being lost. Amen.